The reading this morning is in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and that's on page 637. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbour, "Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow," when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbour who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honour, but fools he holds up to shame.
Thank you. Well, do keep that open, and let's pray. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Our Father, we confess that we are naturally foolish and we need your wisdom, your help to know how to live rightly in your world. So please would you be our guide and our teacher. Please teach us wisdom for our good and for the honour of your name. Amen. And you might have seen on the back of the notice sheet, there are just a few headings there to show you where we're going. That might be helpful to you. You're at school, and you hear a rumour spreading about one of your classmates. How should you respond to that? You have a very heavy workload. There are about 30 items in your inbox. Which one do you do first? You experience great success in something. What should you think about that? Somebody asks you out. Should you say yes? You get two job offers. Which one should you take? You lose your job. What next? The holiday you've been really looking forward to falls through. How do you process that? A student starts at university. What kind of friends should they seek out? How do you avoid angry disputes? How should you organise your finances? How should you bring up your children? There's so many areas of life where we need wisdom. We desperately need wisdom. And this is our second week where we're learning about wisdom from God's word, from the book of Proverbs. If you're here last week, you might remember David gave us a definition of wisdom, and that is that wisdom is knowing what's best and doing what's best as we live in a fallen world. And given that, we need that the whole time, don't we? Every day we're making countless decisions about what to do or how to respond to what other people do. We desperately need wisdom. And wisdom is a subtle thing, isn't it? Wisdom is what we need often in situations when the moral rules don't decide it. I mean, when God clearly says, do this or don't do that, or that's right or that's wrong, in one sense, that's easy. We're just called to obey him. But in so much of life, we're not making right, wrong decisions. It's more subtle than that. It's a question of judgment. We need wisdom. And how desperately we need it, and how precious it is when we find it. We're going to be looking at where we find wisdom in this chapter 3. But just notice verses 13 to 18, which highlight how valuable wisdom is. See verse 14, it is more precious, more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold, more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I mean, those are amazing claims, aren't they? You know, many people long for treasures. Some people are mesmerized by gemstones. But whatever you desire, whatever is top of your wish list at the moment, it is nothing on wisdom. Because wisdom is life-giving. Did you see that? Verse 16, long life is in her hand. Wisdom is the source of riches and honour, and her ways are pleasant, verse 17. Her paths are peace. See verse 18, a great image, a tree of life to those who embrace her. I'm going to credit to Michael Byrne, because he looked at that verse and he observed that this is the only place in the Bible that encourages tree hugging. Okay, she's a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. If you take hold of wisdom, you will experience life that will flourish. Now, that's not to say that these are absolute rules. Proverbs doesn't work like that. Proverbs doesn't say that wisdom guarantees outcomes. Because we live in a fallen world that is often frustrating and unfair, and even tragic. But on the whole, the principles described in Proverbs do apply in this world. So we desperately need to hear the wisdom, and we need it every day. So how do we find wisdom? Well, chapter 3 offers something of a summary. Look again at verses 5 to 6, which are probably the most famous verses in the whole book. Let me read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And we're going to see four principles from this chapter. Four principles. Wisdom comes from God, not from within. It is learned with others, and it is gained through experience, both good and bad. We'll look at those in turn. So first of all, where do we find wisdom? It comes from God. Now, you won't be surprised that we start there. The Bible says that God is perfect. He has perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom. Of course we should look to him. But actually this chapter goes a bit deeper, because what it says is that our world has been created by God's wisdom. Look at verse 19. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. So it's saying God created the world according to the principle of wisdom, which means that the world works according to his design. And what that means for us is that if we want to live well in God's world, we need to live according to his principles that he's built into his creation. Because if we don't, we'll come unstuck. We understand that in some ways. I'd like to imagine that one morning you're just sort of daydreaming and looking out the window, whether you're at school, the office, or at home, and you see the birds flying around, and you marvel at their sort of freedom and grace being able to do that. Imagine you think to yourself, do you know what? I think I'm going to do that. And so you get up onto the windowsill and you push open the window and you launch yourself out in order to enjoy the freedom of the skies. Now, you don't need me to tell you that things are not going to go well for you in that situation, are they? Because why? Because the law of gravity, which God has built into his design in his world, is going to kick in, and you will find yourself plummeting to the ground. Now, those kind of physical laws and principles, they're obvious to us. But what Proverbs tells us is that God has made everything about our lives in this world. His wisdom governs all of life. So, for example, in God's world, relationships work in a particular way and according to his wisdom. If you think you have the freedom to treat the people around you however you like, you will soon come unstuck. You need to observe God's wisdom and see how principles of truthfulness, faithfulness, kindness, grace, patience are essential if we want our relationships to flourish. If you don't go with that wisdom he's built into the world, then you will struggle in your relationships. Well, the same goes for work. You know, if we think that we can be successful, prosperous, without hard work, we're probably heading for a fall. We're deluded. But also, if we think we can ruthlessly pursue wealth without damaging ourselves or others, then we're mistaken, and we will likely suffer for it, and so will the people around us. You've got to go with God's wisdom that he's built into his world. So do you see why we have to look to God for wisdom? He has made our world in a certain way. To ignore his wisdom is to ignore the maker's instructions or guidelines. If you've ever come unstuck with whether it's building flat pack furniture or some gadget, you ignored the instructions and then suddenly it didn't work, or it went wrong, or the door was the wrong way around, then you'll know it's not wise to ignore the instructions. Well, how much more the guidelines for life? We have to look to God. And broadly, that means, well, what do we have to do? We have to fear him and trust him. The chapter emphasizes both. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 7. Fear the Lord and shun evil. We looked at fearing the Lord last week as one of the foundations of wisdom. We said that it's about acknowledging that God is God and that we are not. But in a sense, fearing God and trusting God are very closely related. Because he's God, we fear him. But because he's God, we also trust him. Not least because he's not just a vague, abstract God out there we don't know. He's a God who's revealed himself to us, who's come into the world and shown himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God who laid down his life for us. And of course, if he would do something like that, can't we trust him? If he would lay down his life for you, can't you trust him that he knows best how life works in his world? That his ways are the best ways. So what does it mean in practice for us to fear him and trust him? Well, I guess that where there are clear instructions, where he's told us what's right or wrong, we obey him. We go with that. But when it's not clear, what do? We look to him, we pray to him, and we trust that ultimately he is in control. And that's one of the real comforts from the book of Proverbs. Although we are called to be wise, to make wise decisions, ultimately he is in charge. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So this is God's world. Wisdom comes from him. So first of all, look to him. And then that flows into our next point. Wisdom comes from God. Second, not from within. Wisdom comes not from within. This is the flip side of looking to God. Do not look to yourself. And just notice how clearly that point is made in these verses. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So in Proverbs, our greatest danger when it comes to wisdom is we'll think we'll find it on our own. Is that I will think I am in the best position to know what to think and what to do in any given situation. And Proverbs says, beware of that attitude. Beware thinking you always know what's best. Now, even as I say that, I can also feel my reaction against it, and I'm sure you can too. You know, there's a voice in my head saying, hang on, no one knows better than me what I should do in my life. You know, when it comes to choosing a career or a move or a relationship, or when it comes to making a decision about my children or working out how I should respond if someone mistreats me or how I use my time or my money or my possessions. Only I know what's best in all those situations. I'll make the best decisions for me. Don't we all feel that? But whilst I think that's an instinct for all people, we all feel that, I think it's even stronger in our culture, isn't it? Where we always prioritise the individual over the community. You know, we see this everywhere, don't we? It's always about my view on what I think. You know, I decide my identity. You know, I don't just have a job, I have a career. I define who I am by what I do. And these days, I can even define my sexuality, my gender. You know, in a culture like this one, I'm even more likely to think I always know what's best in any given part of my life. So very likely, we really need to take note of this warning. Lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's very clear, isn't it? But why? Well, the big picture we've seen already. Why? Because if I think my life is mine, I'm mistaken. I live in God's world, which has been designed by him in accordance with his wisdom. I'm going to come unstuck if I ignore my maker's instructions and just follow the instruction book that I've written myself. But also, we live in a fallen world, and we are fallen people, which means we can't always trust our own opinion. We can't trust our hearts and our feelings. Listen to Proverbs 16:2. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. How true that is. All a man's ways seem innocent to him. It's amazing how we can always justify our own actions, can't we? Now, even when we know we're wrong, we can justify our own actions. Oh, I said that because I was provoked. I was speeding because I was late or because of the guy behind me. And many other examples behind, besides that. You see, the Bible says we can't trust our hearts completely. They are deceitful. They're not fully trustworthy. Only the Lord knows what's going on inside us. And all the more reason why we should look to him for wisdom. So that's a really big thing to take on board, and I think a hard one for us. We need God's help with this. It means that if you've got a big decision to make, or if you're in a quandary, difficult situation, don't know how to respond, don't just look within for answers. Don't just think, oh, what's my gut feeling about this? You can't trust it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from within. Thirdly, it's learned from others. We need to get advice from others. Verse 7 again, do not be wise in your own eyes. We've seen how thinking you can understand everything by yourself ignores what is fundamentally true about our world, that it was made by his design, his wisdom. But there's more to say, because the way that God has designed us is so that one of the main ways we discover wisdom is in community. We gain wisdom and understanding by listening to the perspective of other people. Now sometimes we completely understand this. When there's a crime or an accident, we know that the police want to speak to as many witnesses as possible, because different perspectives on the same event should provide a clearer picture of what really happened. Or even in something like sport. At the end of last year, they were reviewing the year, and they looked back at the World Cup, and they showed one of Lionel Messi's goals, and they showed it from about 12 different angles. And with each different angle, his skill, his genius, became clearer and clearer. But you see, Proverbs tells us we desperately need different perspectives if we are to make right decisions. If we're going to see situations clearly and know what to do, we don't just want one perspective. We need the advice and wisdom of others. And in particular, we need the wisdom of elders, of our elders, which our culture doesn't do very well compared with other cultures. Our culture sees that as a bit old-fashioned, I think. But it's really underlined in Proverbs, where the whole book is framed as the teaching of a father being passed on to his son. Look at verse 1 here. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. See the value of wisdom being passed on from father to son. Or remember this from chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So I think this is a particular lesson to you who are younger. There's no doubt this is a very important message to the teenager. Because when we go through those years, we are very resistant to the idea that our parents might understand some things better than us, aren't we? Although later on, we might be willing to listen. Do you know that there's this brilliant quote by Mark Twain? He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the whole old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. It's great, isn't it? You see, their teenage years are very difficult, aren't they? Remember them if you're older? I mean, goodness, you're trying to work out who you are, and your friendships get complicated, and you're dealing with exams and kind of working out what you want to do, and all that with hormones are sort of racing around through your body. Very challenging time. You need lots of wisdom. Now, you teenagers, you are right. Your parents don't understand everything. That they don't know how to work your phone, and they wouldn't know a meme if they tripped over it in the street. But they have lived through your years, and they've learned some lessons along the way. So talk to them about the things you're facing and listen to them. And of course, one of the wonders and joys of being part of a church family is we don't just have our own parents. We're part of a wider church community, a wider church family. There are more mums and dads and uncles and aunts out there, and we can gain wisdom from them as well. So it's a big lesson, I think, for the teenager. But of course, it continues to be relevant throughout life. All of us need to be willing to accept wisdom from others, to stop thinking that we understand life best on our own. Here's a couple more Proverbs. 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. Or 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. So we need to take this on board. I wonder if it's a challenge for you, someone who's good at taking advice from others. as we face various decisions, challenges, or opportunities in life, will we seek wisdom by taking advice from others? You know, if you're a parent, have you spoken to older parents who've gone through the stage that you're on at the moment? They're very likely they've faced the same kind of difficulties that you're facing now. What a resource. Talk to them, ask for their wisdom. You have a difficult relationship with your boss. They get you very wound up. Have you asked someone else who you trust, who knows you, for their advice? If you're married, are you willing to listen to your wife or husband if they think they see something that should change in your life? Are you willing to listen to them? Wisdom is learned from others. Wisdom is learned from others. And then finally, wisdom is gained through experience. It's gained through experience. As David mentioned last week, wisdom is not the same as intelligence. And it's not gained by passing exams, but it comes through experience. Tim Keller says this: wisdom cannot be conveyed by a series of TED Talks or executive briefings. It is inaccessible to people too busy for its method. It comes through first with experience and then with deep, honest reflection on that experience. So you learn wisdom through living life and then reflecting on what happens to you and people around you. Now, again, I think this is a real challenge to us who live life at such a frantic pace. We don't take time to stop and reflect on the things that happen to us, or our responses and our emotions, or why people around us behave as they do. And forever rushing on to the next thing, we miss the chance to gain wisdom. All of our experiences can teach us wisdom, but there are two in particular that are referred to here, and that's good times and bad. So first of all, good times. Look at verse 9. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, at first glance, this doesn't look like one of life's challenges, does it? You know, who needs wisdom when there's a big harvest? You know, who needs wisdom when life is good, when you're successful, when you pass the exam, and you get the job, or you win the prize? But you know what? The Bible suggests that good times can be dangerous times, because we may conclude that it was all down to us. That we forget that our abilities and our privileges and our opportunities all came from outside of us. They all came from God. You know, people congratulate us on doing well in something, and we say, oh, there's no need to make a fuss. But inside we're thinking, oh yes, will you look at me? You know, we think much of ourselves, and we think less of others, and we think almost nothing of God. You know, success in life is a test. You know that? Success in life is a test. So if life is going well for us at the moment, well, will we honour God? Will we honour God, giving him glory and thanks for the good things that he has entrusted to us? If so, then we'll grow in wisdom. So we learn wisdom through good times, but also through bad times. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. We learn through discipline. When parents discipline their children, taking their toy away or sending them to their room, whatever they do, what do? They bring a painful experience into their child's life, but they do that for their good, to correct and to improve their behavior, for their benefit. And the Bible says that God works through all the painful experiences of life, all the different frustrations and difficulties and pain that comes with living in a fallen world. God works through all of those to grow us in wisdom for our good. You know, so like success, hardship is a test. And how we respond can make us wise or more foolish. Do you remember we saw this last summer in the book of James, if you were with us? We said that suffering can make you bitter or better. And God's purpose is to make us better, that we might grow in wisdom through what happens to us. You know, when you're struggling, you're suffering, you can head along a path of resentment and self-pity, or you can cry out to your Heavenly Father for his help and for his strength to persevere in trusting him. And if we think, I think some of us worry, I could never do that. You know, if things were really bad, I could never do that. I think what Proverbs suggests is that we grow in wisdom by the way we respond to the little things, in a way that, you know, each step in life is an opportunity to grow in wisdom. So if we respond well to the little frustrations in life, that will equip us for the big ones as well. John Newton says, "The grace of God is as necessary to create right temper on the breaking of a china plate as on the death of an only son." You know, if you don't respond well to little things going wrong, you're unlikely to cope when things are very tough indeed. And yet Proverbs encourages us that those who do that, those who cling on to the Lord through all the different frustrations and hardships of life, will be able to face even the greatest tests. And of course, as we do that, we become more like the Lord Jesus, who trusted his Father as he trod the path of suffering, even as he suffered infinitely for us on the cross. So, wisdom. It's so precious. We desperately need it to live life in this world. Make every effort to find wisdom. Looking to the Lord, not within, seeking advice from others, and willing to learn in good times and bad. Well, let's pray. I'm going to give us a little bit of time to reflect. You might like to reflect on areas of life where we need wisdom at the moment, and then reflect a little bit on where would be the best place to find it. We'll have some time to reflect, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are the source of all wisdom. And we pray, therefore, you'd help us to be humble and look to you. Forgive us our pride, always thinking we know best. Lord, help us to take you at your word for the things that you say clearly. Help us to look to your word for wisdom in the things that are not so clear. We thank you so much for this book of Proverbs and pray that we might learn much from it. We pray you'd make us humble enough to listen to others. And would you give us grace to learn through life's different experiences, that you might equip us to grow in wisdom, that we might face in the best way whatever life has in store for us. And we thank you, Lord, that our lives are in your hands. So we entrust ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.